I had considered beginning a new series this morning, but I just felt the Lord said we need to continue with this, just looking at this whole life by intelligent design. I don't know about anybody else. This stuff really floats my boat. I don't know about anybody else, but praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's pretty wild stuff. Glory to God. My whole life is changing. I mean, I know, I've had this revelation for several years now, but sometimes God just begins to bring you to a new place, a new level in your understanding of some things. Amen. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. God said, who said? God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion, complete authority, rule, and responsibility over the earth. Why don't you encourage that person next to you and say, get over it. Get over it. Hallelujah. Because that's what you were created for, to get over it. Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the spirit of life, the breath or the spirit of life, and the man became literally a life. He became a life. Hallelujah. God set man over the abundance of everything. Before he created man, he created the abundance of everything that man would ever need, and then he created man and he set him not just in that place, but he set him over what he had created. Anybody feel over it this morning? Help that person next to you again. Come on, say, get over it. Get over it. Sometimes it's a process of getting over it. We need to get that place, folks, where we're over it. Amen. Katrina came home from work the other day, and I'd been home just about half an hour before her or so, and she said, you have a good day today? And I said, well, to be perfectly frank, in the 4D, as long as I stayed breathing 4D, I was all right. But in the 3D, it was pretty awful. Glory to God. Amen. Come on. I was having a wee grunt about something with Anna. It was probably the same day or the next day. I can't remember what it was. And she said to me, don't get bitter. And she's right, you know. And if I stay in the 3D with that stuff, I'll get better. But if I come into the 4D, I'll get better. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. And it's learning to stay in that place of 4D because we were created to enjoy 4D life. I want to tell you, see, 4D life is about living in the power of God's blessing. When the first words that man heard from God were blessing, words of blessing. God blessed them. Come on. Glory to God. And even after man blew it and man fell from 4D into 3D, 4D was still available, like we've been talking about over the last few weeks. And it says that Noah found grace, even in the midst of a generation where everyone was going after their own way, where it says the thoughts of men's hearts were only evil continually, were continually thinking evil thoughts. You know what? Evil thoughts become evil words become evil actions, habits, evil character is formed out of that, and ultimately they determine their own destiny, which was destruction. But in the midst of that, it says Noah found grace. He found grace. How do you find grace? Well, it says that you find grace through faith. In Hebrews 11, it says, by faith, Noah, having heard from God. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, that we're saved by grace through faith. It's faith that accesses the grace of God. That grace is the 4D life that God originally designed us to live. And it says that even in that place, when after God had destroyed everything else, he saved Noah and his family. And as soon as he came out of the ark, what did God do? He blessed them. He blessed them with increase. The blessing of God is about increase. It's about multiplication. It's about fruitfulness. He then said, now go. And again, I'm restoring an element of dominion to you for something else that's coming down the road. But you can live in this right now. You and your family can live in this. If you choose to live here, you can live here. You continue to hear what I say and continue to access my favor, my grace, by faith, and you will live in a different dimension from everybody else around you. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's our choice whether we live in that 4D or not. You know, my internet connection was down there for 8 days. You know how dependent we've become on that thing. And over the last couple of weeks, maybe last week or the week before, I can't remember, but I was likening that living in the 3D, trying to live out our Christian lives in the 3D is like dial-up. Remember dial-up? You know that mess, like beep, 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 and then it failed again, and the download times were so slow, and everything was just haphazard, and come and go, and everything else. Now, that's where most people live their Christian lives. If you don't understand, that's where most people, that describes most people's Christian lives. It's come and go, it's on 1 minute, it's off the next, it's up and down and all over the place. You can't depend on it. Everything's dead, slow and stop. Come on, most Christians lived in the 3D of dial-up. So not that they don't have a relationship with God, but they don't understand the dimension of relationship that they've been brought into. But broadband is like the 4D. Always on connection. Fast download speeds. Come on, it's like instant. Everything's instant virtually. Glory to God. That's where God wants us to live, in that place. He who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. But I tell you, if you don't understand that, if you allow yourself to be moved from that and removed from that and shifted from that, then you come back into that 3D dial-up mess. And you're praying dial-up prayers. Come on. You're not sure if you've got a connection or not. And if you do, you're not sure if the answer will come or not. Or you get half an answer before it kicks off. Come on, before it breaks down again. But my broadband was down. It was gone. Capucci. Nakashaw. So I get in touch with my internet service provider. And I spoke over that 8-day period. I spoke to people on three continents. People who were supposedly qualified to help, but who continually made promises that they did not fulfill. That's Christianity at a 3D level. You go for help to people who are supposed to be qualified to help you, and they haven't got more of a scooby than you have. I began to realize that some of them couldn't really speak English very well, and even the ones that could didn't really know much about computers at all. And they passed me around from pillar to post and made promises that I would be called back, and these things didn't happen. I want to tell you, sometimes I came down into the 3D and messed with it. But you see, God's always pulling on you. He's always bringing that conviction. Donnie, there's a higher place to live than that. Amen. And eventually I spoke to someone in this country, I believe, my third continent, who promised me an engineer would come out on Tuesday to look at the telephone line, because they figured there was something wrong with the telephone line, and before they'd investigated the telephone line, they couldn't even process the whole broadband thing. But I woke up yesterday morning. See, I don't quit. That's one thing that's emblazoned in my spirit, is do not quit. I don't know a whole lot about computers. I don't know very much at all. But the little bit I know, I want to take it and move it forward and develop that. Glory to God. But I know somebody who does. I'm connected with someone who does. My spirit is joined to someone who knows everything, who has all wisdom, all power, and all authority. And I woke up yesterday and I just said, well, bless God, wait till Tuesday till that engineer shows up, and maybe, just maybe, he might get something going, and in a few days we might get our broadband back. You know, yesterday I woke up with some revelation, with some wisdom, and I thought, I'm going to apply. I could have just said, oh, that's just talking rubbish. You've tried 100 things, you've spoken to all these people, or you can go and try this. And I went downstairs and I tried it, and I went back on. Come on! Three people, over three continents who were supposedly qualified to help, made promises they could not fulfill. But wisdom of God. Hallelujah. I'm back online. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Cool. So there's anybody else that wants to. Because that's the awesome thing. I get back online and the whole house goes wireless. Come on. Katrina's back on. Anna's back on. Anybody else wants his back on? It's not even protected. Anybody outside the house could get back on if they want. Hallelujah. That's the way it is. When you get back online, when you come into that place of 40 life, everybody around you gets blessed. God said to Abraham, Abraham, I'm going to bless you and make you a blessing. It won't be just you that's reconnected. Everybody that gets close enough to you will be reconnected. Anybody that gets close enough to that wireless connection can tap in. Hallelujah. That was the biggest mistake Lot ever made, was separating from Abraham. I believe when Abraham said, Lot, you know, we've got too much stuff. There's not enough grazings now for all of everything that we've accumulated around us. So maybe we should part company. I believe that he was giving the boy a test that day. What that boy needed to say was, Abraham, I know my blessing is connected with you. I know the day I separate from you, then my blessing, something's going to go a bit skew-riff on it. I'm just going to get rid of some of my stock so I can stay with you. Hallelujah. Come on. Some of you don't realize your blessing's connected to this pulpit. Hallelujah. Come on, the word that's coming forth from here today, you don't understand your blessing's connected to it. Glory to God. And one day you're going to say, you know, there's a big wide world out there. There's Sodom down there. I said it before, all this stuff, I want to tell you all this stuff, a lot of this stuff about relationship, evangelism, and all that, just build a relationship with people, don't mention Jesus, that's 3D. That's 3D. People don't need your 3D mess, they don't need your 3D cup of coffee. They don't need your 3D wee chat and pat in the back. They don't need that mess. They need the 4D. They need to know you're connected with 4D. You need to know you're different because you're 4D. You're living in a different dimension from them. Come on, that's the way it's always been for the church that's living where it's supposed to live. You don't fit, you're a misfit. You don't fit in 3D because you're 4D. You're bigger than 3D. You speak words that don't fit in 3D. Come on. See, impossible is not a 4D word, it's a 3D word. So, God, it's time for us to understand that. Jesus takes us back into kindergarten church and he says, okay, guys, with men, it's impossible, but with God, joined to the Lord, one spirit with him, all things are possible. But not only that, all is a 3D word. All is a 3D word. Because in the 4D, when you get back to the 4D, understanding the four dimensions of God's love, of length and breadth and depth and height, all of a sudden it's exceedingly abundantly above all. According to the power that works in us, because we're connected, we have an always on connection. All this revival is a 3D word. It's a word that people who live their Christian lives in the 3D chuck around. Now, I'm not knocking them for it, because at least they're looking for something better. At least they're hoping that one day their exchange will be upgraded and they'll be able to go from dial-up to broadband. Come on. But they think about the broadband in the same way they always thought about dial-up. It'll be come and go, here and there. We get a wee bit of revival for a wee while and then we'll just go back to dial-up again. Because their understanding is limited to a 3D understanding, even of the 4D. Come on. Come on, Jesus said, when he gave the parable of the sword, his disciples came to him afterwards, they said, explain this to us. He said, if you don't understand that, how are you going to understand any of the parables? Because the parables were using the 3D to explain the 4D. And when he gave the parable of the sword, he gave three scenarios where people encounter 3D stuff that limits their lives. That, because they live their Christian lives, that even having received the word of God, they stay at the 3D level. Some of them, the word's instantly stolen from them. Some of you come into church on a Sunday morning before you've had your cup of tea and the word's gone. Because you just thought you were here to scratch your religious itch. You thought you were here to mark your card. You were here, you were thought to do your religious bit. God would be real chuffed with you. Come on. Before you're even out the door, it's gone. Other people, they receive it with joy. They shout amen. They say, glory, hallelujah, this is awesome. It's a 4D, well, I'm into that. But then they go into work and they start talking 4D and people say, you off your trolley? You a nutcase? You a nut job? Get out of here with your religious garbage. We don't want to hear that stuff. But you're talking 4D. Because you know 4D, life comes from a 4D word. So a little bit of persecution arises because of the 4D word. And you decide, well, maybe it's not worth all the hassle. So you go back down into the 3D again. And that word is removed from you. Other people, come on. they get a hold of it. They start to produce some stuff. Just like Abraham and Lot, stuff appears. But they start to focus on the stuff. See, stuff brings its own troubles. Come on, that wonderful new car, one day it's going to break down. And it's going to create trouble. Are you going to get into the 4D with that trouble? Or are you going to go down and stay in the 3D with that trouble? The deceitfulness of riches, other things, the desire for other things come in and begin to choke the fruitfulness of the word because they're trying to live the life that God designed them to live at a level, a 3D level. Jesus said, in this world you will have much trouble. But be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. I'm taking you to a place where you're not living in the world where the trouble is. Oh, there's trouble happening. Oh, you're experiencing trouble. But you can live above the trouble. You can remain in the place where the trouble affects you, or you can come up above the trouble. Come on, he wasn't saying, in this world you'll have much trouble, so just get on with it. Like a good wee soldier. No, the stuff's hitting off of you. The same stuff is happening in the world, it's hitting off of you, but you're not living in it, you're over it. He said that you might be in the world, but not of the world. We're different. We're not 3D anymore, we're 4D people. Come on. And the enemy has to try and suck you back into 3D, just like he did with Eve in the garden. He said, look at that. Wow. And she starts to look. Man, that looks tasty. Did God really say? Well, maybe. I wonder, did God really say? He's got you back into 3D. Come on. In the abundance of 4D provision, he's got you back in this 3D mess, and you start to mess with it. Oh, did God really say I was to love my wife for the rest of my life and stick with her? Or, man, she looks pretty over there. Maybe if, and then all that stuff, maybe if a wife died, I could marry her. I hear stuff like that from people. Then your wife's taking too long to die, so maybe, well, the precedent's been set in the church now. I know big leaders that they just divorced their wives and married the secretary just like they felt like. So the precedent's been set, and everything's been lowered. When there's a legal precedent, we follow that legal precedent. So we just say, well, it's been done in the church before, not just by we pagans like me, but by the big shot. So I'll just do the same. I'll just divorce and I'll marry this one. Come on, it starts because you went down into the 3D with your stuff. Come on. Not knowing that that wife that the God gave you, you became heirs together of the grace of God, of the life of God. Come on. Of the 4D. You were together. You were to inhabit the 4D. Hallelujah. And raise your children in 4D. And we saw that last week with Abraham's kids, man. Both of them had to get through into that place of getting back into 4D because they were down there in the 3D mess. Isaac had to remember the wells of his father Abraham and redig these wells and get reconnected to the blessing in a place of famine and prosper in the same way that his father had prospered in that land. Jacob had to get rid of these words of, I'm so unworthy, I'm not worthy to receive the least of your mercies, blah, blah, blah. He had to get rid of that 3D language. I said it before, glory to God, if you miss mercy, you'll never get to the grace of God, the 4D grace of God. Mercy is the root, but I tell you, you come looking for mercy and you find grace. God doesn't put your neck and rub your nose in it a little bit. As soon as he sees you're looking for mercy, you find his grace. Somebody help me. Come on, this is pretty good stuff, by the way. This is even getting better. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on. It's time to come up, 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 up. Remember the 3D army that gathered around David. Those in distress and anxiety, mental suffering and anguish and debt who had an obligation to repay something to someone else and they couldn't repay it. Who were discontented, restlessly unhappy and dissatisfied. That's the stuff of 3D. I call it David's 3D army. And one group of people that came to him, the sons of Benjamin and Judah, they came to him and David was very clear with them. He said, if you come to help me, because if you're not here to help me, then you're in the wrong place. I'm not going to be your social security system. I can't do that. You'll just drag me down where you are. But I've got a vision of the 4D. If we get God's presence back into the camp, then we'll all begin to live in the 4D where the blessing is. And then there'll be no more distress or debt or discontentment. Come on. We'll be all living up here where our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And set us over it. And come on, turn that person and say, get over it. Give us a 4D language when the 3D fails. Hallelujah. It's so easy. It's so simple. It's so straightforward. It's so basic. But he says, if you can't even understand this most simple of parables, how will you understand anything else about the 4D? How will you ever understand anything else about the kingdom of God if you can't even get this? I'm not here to talk to you about. When he says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And they're saying, oh God, well, he knows we've got the bread again. Come on. Some of you, this word's coming to you. It's the word of God's power. To release you, to deliver you, to take you to a brand new place of living. And you hear it 3D. And all you think about is how long it's taking. Come on. Can I say that, Lord? Maybe not yet. Okay. I don't have a shiko bo. See, who knows, from years and years and years we've had this message of grace and of our identity and of who we are in Christ. And that's good. But it's not enough. It's only half the message. Because if all we focus on is who we are in Christ, then where is the emphasis placed? It's all about me. It's all about me, Jesus. Come on. And that imbalance has left us weak and it's left us sick and it's left us in maintenance mode. Most people's church is just maintenance mode. Fix me. Help me. Come on. Come on. But it's time for the balance to be redressed. You see, when we begin to focus more on who Christ is in us, that's the Ephesians 3 stuff. That's the exceeding abundantly above all. That's the Christ in us, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. We begin to focus more on who Christ is in us, then the emphasis is placed upon Him and His strength. Not on our weakness, but in His strength and His power and His wisdom. My broadband can come back on without an engineer. Then we can really, truly begin to sing, "It's all about you, Jesus." And all of a sudden, we're restored to missions mode, because your mission field right now is where you work, it's who you hang out, it's who you encounter every day. That's your mission field. Starts there. Starts in Jerusalem. Starts locally. Then it moves out regionally, even cross-culturally. Your mission field is the Chinese takeaway or the Balti House. Glory to God. Come on. Or the Great Presbyterian Divide. Come on. That's your mission field. To introduce people to the 4D. The language of the 4D. The God of the 4D. The testimony that comes from those who breathe in His presence and breathe out His praise. It's all about you. Remember worship? The revelation of true worship? You are, you are, you are, you are, you are everything that you say you are in my life, in my experience. See, whether we've got it or not, the Word of God tells us that Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God and the hope of glory dwells in us. Paul said that to the church in Ephesus, according to the power that works in you. That's the power that works in you, that connection that you have with the Lord that's made you one spirit with Him. That's what's going to cause the manifestation of the favor and the blessing and the grace of God and the exceeding and abundantly above. Oh, the 4D, the fourth dimension. In fact, that presence of God in our lives should so radically transform our lives that it moves us from 3D existence. Because that's all it is in the 3D, it's existence. It's get by street, you understand? From 3D existence to 4D living, from 3D survival, because that's as good as it gets. Man, I survived another day. Whoa. Hallelujah. Drag yourself into the house. Oh, God. From 3D survival to 4D victory, because that's where we live. This is the victory by which we overcome our faith that accesses the grace that reaches into the 4D and brings it down into our experience. Alabashaka. And 3D distress and debt and discontentment, they're wiped out. We come up above these things. Hallelujah. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now dwells in us. Come on. It's ready. Do, 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 do. Come on. Do, 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 do. That's what it is. It's resurrection life. 4D life is resurrection life. It's resurrection power working in us. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, we're joined to that same Spirit. Come one Spirit with that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. He's dwelling in us. He's living in us. In the natural, every one of us, we see things in 3D. At a natural level. Length and breadth and depth. But God revealed to us that there's an extra dimension, another dimension. He's restored us to that dimension. Who knows that when God restores something, He doesn't just restore it to the way it was. He always makes an improvement. He always takes it to a new level, to a new place. See, let me just explain some things to you this morning. If you know who you are in Christ, some of you, man, we've heard a lot of this over the years. Come on. If you know who you are in Christ, then you know that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But if you don't know, or if you're not fully persuaded concerning who Christ is in you, that He's the power of God, that He's the wisdom of God, and He's the glory of God, and He's in you, then you don't have a lot of power to resist sin when it comes. Because and that's why you go, I'm a Christian, why am I falling into this again? Oh, because you're in the 3D. Because all you're thinking about, I'm a Christian, I'm in Christ, I'm supposed to have protection, I'm supposed to be the righteousness of God, but I'm back in sin again. How could this happen? Because you didn't acknowledge who Christ is in you. Hallelujah. Do you get the difference? Do you understand the difference? Jesus said, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing, say nothing, shall by any means hurt or harm you. Is that clear? Is that a lie? Did somebody insert that later on just to confuse us? Is that one of these people who wasn't qualified telling us something that wasn't true and a promise that couldn't be fulfilled? No, you see, it says in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22, that the blessing of God makes one rich and he adds no sorrow with it. How much? None. No sorrow with it. Nothing shall by any means hurt you or harm you, because you're not, you might be experiencing some stuff in the 3D, but you're not living in the 3D. You're living in the 4D. Hallelujah. Christ in you. The connection that you have with heaven, the connection you have with the grace of God, with the favor of God, with the blessing of God, with the resources of God, with the provision of God, and you draw it down into the 3D. Come on! If you know who you are in Christ, then you know that you are the healed. But if you don't know, or you're not fully persuaded concerning who Christ is in you, that he's the power of God, that he's the wisdom of God, that he's the glory of God. I remember David Wilkerson sharing many years ago how he struggled with irritable bowel syndrome for years. Tried every kind of medication, went to every kind of doctor and consultant and everybody else. Never did get rid of that thing. And one morning he woke up and God gave him a recipe for a vegetable drink. He got the ingredients and he stuck them in a blender and he spun them around a few times. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He poured them into a glass. He started drinking that every day and he was instantly healed. The wisdom of God. He's down there in the 3D trying to deal with his irritable bowel. And all the time the wisdom of God's available, the power of God, the glory of God. Just take that drink every morning and everything will be brand new. I've got testimony for that. I could bring you from my own life, and I'm sure some of you do, if you just sit down and start giving God glory. Start acknowledging who's been working in your life, who's been trying to get your attention, who's been trying to get the ears of your heart so that the eyes of your heart could be opened. If you don't hear from God, you'll never see anything from God. You don't hear from him first. Before God ever does anything, he says something first. That's just the way he ordered it. And you can live with that or be out of order. A lot of people, I've had people come into my office, I want to see something. Oh, I want to. I said, well, you need to hear something first. I don't want to hear anything. I don't want to hear anything. I just want to see something. I said, well, you're out of order. You should go back down the stairs and have a cup of tea with a few sugars in it. Have a sugar rush or something. Give you a temporary 5-minute blip on your misery. Does that sound harsh? That's just the truth. It's just the truth. I haven't got the time to listen to 3D garbage if you won't hear a 4D word. Have you come to help me? Because I can't help you. So if you've come to me to help, you've come to the wrong place. And that guy next to you hasn't got any more help for you than I've got, so don't stop looking at him for some sympathy. But I tell you, I've got a vision to see the kingdom of God. I've got a vision to see the glory of God. I've got a vision to see the presence of God tabernacle among his people continually. And I tell them, all we'll all be helped then. Hallelujah. We'll have some help. Don't need to redefine that word, blessed be the name. Come on. We need to go into tongues with that one. Hallelujah. If you don't know, if you're not fully persuaded concerning who Christ is in you, the power of God, the wisdom of God, and the glory of God, you won't have much power to resist sickness. Our preacher, Donnie Stewart, told me I was healed. And look at this. Look at this, David. Look at that x-rays. Doctor just gave me a prognosis. I've got 3 months. That guy told me I was healed. You don't know who Christ is in you. You're not looking to your... Come on. You're not pulling on your own 3D mess of resources. You'll be swallowing every potion and everything they can put in your hand. Knocking all back and hoping against hope that maybe one day... Come on, we've been given... God glory for things that we could have done without him. The best prayer some people have got is that God will guide the surgeon's hand. I tell you, I'm not knocking people that pray these. That's 3D prayers, though. I hope that if you're going for surgery, somebody's guiding that surgeon's hand. Hey, Anna, too much the night before, he ain't shaking too much. So I mean, that's pretty precision stuff. And thank God for the little bit of extra life that they add on to some people in the 3D world. But I've got a 4D God. Hallelujah. Come on. When I go to the 4D God, I'm not going to waste his time by asking him to guide the surgeon's hand. I'm going to ask him for some of his non-invasive surgery. Come on! The God, the 4D God. Come on, that. Remember, we read you that several times with that non-Christian PhD wrote in his thesis. Come on, a 4D being would be able to go enter into a 3D being and just remove something like a cancer or a tumor. Hallelujah. Come on. He knows our thoughts. How does he even know what we think? Because we are down here in the 3D and he's in the 4D. If you know who you are in Christ, then you know you're the deliverer. But it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. But if you don't know or you're not fully persuaded concerning who Christ is in you, the power of God, the wisdom of God, and the glory of God, then you won't have much power to resist all the oppression that's coming. All the trouble that Jesus said will come the way of those who are in the 3D, locked into their 3D existence. If you know who you are in Christ, then you know that you're the prosperous. But if you don't know or you're not fully persuaded concerning who Christ is in you, the power of God, the wisdom of God, and the glory of God, what does he say? He says, I give you the power to get wealth. I don't know what was that brought. I was brought up by a father who read the Daily Record, probably voted Labour at every election. He was a kingdom man, but glory to God. Come on. I don't know. Maybe that was the environment I grew up. I spent a few years of my childhood in Clydebank, you know, the heart of socialism. Jimmy Reid's daughter was in my class. Come on. Araba Shokabunda. Used to sing, you won't get me, I'm part of a union. Just to torment her a little bit. you're in that upper class shipbuilder's mess, you know. When he was not very well treated. When the church, the Catholic church that had great power in that place because he stood for the Communist Party and after that being really the 3D saviour of that whole mess. And they stood up in the chapels and said, don't vote for that man because he's a communist. He mentioned Jesus a lot more than they did, actually. Not saying he was saved, but he referred to Jesus quite a lot because he was into that kind of social stuff and he saw Jesus as a 3D kind of good guy, you know what I'm saying, who loved the poor and blessed the poor and all that kind of stuff. Maybe that's because of that kind of environment. There were some things that I was just like, for years and years, I'm talking about them not very quite recently. In fact, but just a few months ago, I downloaded onto my Kindle Andrew Carnegie's autobiography. I've read about a page every 2 weeks or something, you know what I'm saying? Very interesting stuff. And he actually made a point that something he discovered when he was a very young man. And he said something, and I thought, that changed my whole perspective on a particular issue. Because I used to say, you don't invest in the world, you invest in the kingdom. The God who made heaven and earth is our God. Come on. But what you need is the wisdom of God as to where to put your investment. This is what he said to me that changed my thinking and my understanding. He said this. He said he discovered, because somebody gave him a tip when he was a young boy. He was moving up and he worked for a railroad company. And he found favor with the guys, his bosses and managers. And some guy gave him an investment tip and he had to go and borrow the money to invest it. Just a young boy, maybe 20, 21. And it was his first investment. And he said when he got his first dividend, just a few dollars, he realized something. That money that he got in that dividend was money that he hadn't had to sweat for. Somebody help me. Come on. He hadn't had to put any work in, any hours for, nothing. He got that money because he'd invested it wisely. Somebody help me, come on. It changed my whole way of thinking. I thought, that sounds a wee bit like the kingdom. That sounds a wee bit like something that's been restored from the fall, because in the fall, in the 3D mess, God said to Adam, everything, every bit of progress you make from now on will be by the sweat of your brow. But he put us over it. Somebody help me. So it's not that it's wrong to invest in the earth, it's just to know where to invest. People make great fortunes in times of recession. I want to tell you, there's a lot of people losing everything right now, but there's a lot of people making more money than they ever made. But God says, and that's some of these are not very nice people, and some of them maybe don't have a heart for anybody, and some of these are making it out of the misery of others. But God says, and I'm just saying that to say this, God says, that's in the 3D, how much more in the 4D? Jesus said, how much more will your heavenly Father bless you, give to you? He says, I give you the power to get wealth. Come on. Come on. He says, I'll show you where to invest. I'll show you where to invest. Take your few pounds and invest it there, and I'll create something from that you'll never even have to sweat about. While you're doing something else, your investment's making money, bringing a return. If you don't know who you are, if you know who you are in Christ, you know you are the prosperous. But if you don't know or are not fully persuaded concerning who Christ is in you, the power of God, the wisdom of God, and the glory of God, then you won't have much power to resist poverty. When God brings these things to you, when you wake up in the middle of the night, in the morning with an idea, a God idea, and you just let it pass. Come on, you understand? You see, God found a man called Joseph, a boy, a wee boy, just a boy. Second youngest son in a very large family. He just happened to be Jacob's family, though. And he found someone who had a respect for vision. Come on. Who had a respect and an honor for vision. Now, the problem was, the vision he got, he brought it into the 3D. And he shared it with some people who only heard it in the 3D. His father maybe had a little bit more of a glimmer of understanding, but his brothers, everything just rose up and said, just like they did for Jesus when he stood up in Nazareth and began to share the vision of heaven. That's what happens. That's what I'm saying. When you become the 4D person, wait, watch out for some manifestations that aren't very nice. He made the mistake of bringing that vision down into the 3D and sharing it with some 3D people, and even he himself didn't have the understanding at that point that this wasn't about his family bowing down in front of him in the 3D house they were living in at that time, about him becoming the top dog. See, Jesus, if you don't understand this parable, how will you understand any of the parables? If you don't understand, there's another dimension that I'm speaking about. If you just to hear what I'm saying at the dimension that I'm speaking, that's why people say, oh, Jesus was a great teacher. He said some great things. He was a downright liar if he wasn't talking about. Come on. He said he was God. That's not a great teacher. Yes, he was a great teacher, but that's not all he was. He was. Some people put him in a parallel with Gandhi. Or, what's her face? In India. Mother Teresa. Excuse me, I didn't mean that in any disrespect. I just couldn't remember her name. He found a young man called Joseph, who was the next generation. He was the second last son, but he's the one who got it. He's the one who caught it. He's the one that God could place the vision in for the blessing, for the continuation of that whole family. Are you catching this? Because he had a respect and an honor for vision. Something I was going to say before and I didn't say it, but I'll say it now. Because God said this to me. He said, that youth group that you thought was so wonderful in this church, he said, it wasn't as wonderful as you think. Because it failed to create honor and respect for the word of God that was coming from this place. And a lot of them are scattered all over the place and they've got no heart for this vision. There's like one or two, thank God, just like Joseph. In the midst of the 12 of children of Jacob, he found the second last son called Joseph, and he was able to deposit something in there that carried him through all of the 3D garbage. Come on, he went from the pit to the Potiphar's house as a slave to the prison, and eventually to the palace, because he never lost his respect and his honor for vision. His understanding of it developed. Come on, for dreams from God. He was able to interpret Joseph's dream because he had honor and respect for vision. Who knows what I'm talking about? Are you here to help me this morning? Are you in this church because you know God's brought you in here to help with this vision? You say, well, you're looking around right now. Well, what do you think it was like in Joseph's pit looking around? Come on, what do you think that was like? What do you think it was like in that hellhole of that Egyptian jail? Man, there weren't no colour TVs in there or nice fat mattresses. Come on, and three meals a day and snooker and everything else. Sky TV and probably a better broadband than I get. That's not what it was like in that Egyptian jail. With a death sentence looming over him. What did it look like in there? Well, I'm looking around here. What is this vision? You got a year to help. You see, it came to pass. The vision came to pass. The vision that God had birthed in Joseph came to pass. And it came to pass because he downloaded the wisdom of God into Pharaoh's palace. Hallelujah. It caused the salvation of that whole family line. Come on, because eventually his father came. He wasn't asking them to bow down. Come on, get down there. Let me put my foot in your neck and remind you of what I shared with you all these years ago. No, he wept. When he first saw his brethren going back, he wept. That's the heart of God in a man. That carries the vision of God. He's got no time for when his enemies show up to torment them. He's got no time for that mess. I tell you, I've seen people that have maligned me and cursed me and used me and abused me and betrayed me and everything else. I've seen them walk through that door sometimes, and all I did was weep because I thought, Kabash, Shakabash. This is God. Only God could do this. Come on, only God could do this. Said only God could do this. With men, it's impossible. In the 3D, you want to curse them out. You want to, come on. You want to make them pay more than you had to pay. You want them to suffer more than you ever suffered. That's the 3D garbage. But see, God says, come on, turn a person to get over it. Get over it. Get over it. He's taking us up to a new place. And I'm going to close. God was just giving me some stuff there, brand new, fresh from Heaven's Bakery. Hallelujah. That's the best kind of it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But you understand that? Because someone had respect. God said, I mean, that youth group is gone. That's why he said, he brought me a word. Oh, I'll pass on that. But I understand. I begin to get the picture. Hallelujah. All of a sudden things become clear because you hold on to this vision of the glory of God, of what happens when people just believe, simply believe that the glory's here, Janet. That's all that's here right now. Katrina, the glory's here. Amen. You can't see it with your 3D, but you'll see it if you put on your 4D glasses. Just like when you take one of them 3D movies. Looks all kind of fuzzy until you put the glasses on. And all of a sudden, things are shooting out at you. Nice of Katrina. But I thank God for that woman of faith. She could kept on seeing beyond the 3D, I tell you. She's had to put up with some junk now. But look, she's still smiling. She doesn't look as old as she is. Hallelujah. She should look twice as old as she is. She doesn't even look half as old as she is. People still call her my daughter. is this one of your daughters? What do you mean? That's my mother. I just said how young she looks. Come on. See, you took that all the wrong way. You see that? See, what you should have thought, wow. What he's really saying is she looks even way younger than they think she looks. Because she's my mother. She's got to be looking a lot younger. Come on. Isn't that how we instantly grab onto that 3D interpretation of a 4D compliment? Hallelujah. Let's stand up to get over it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God's just looking for a people that have respect and honor for the vision that we'll carry. Hallelujah. We'll download the wisdom of God and we'll live in that place where they're over it. Hallelujah. Don't look at what they see around them. Don't look at the trouble that's around you. Don't look at the black walls of the pit or the prison. But know that God's heart is to see your deliverance and the deliverance of your people. Hallelujah. He's put it in our hands. He's placed it within our hands. He said, take this land. Not for yourselves. Take this land for everyone I created to live in it at a 4D level. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your precious people here today. I thank you for this word. I thank you that it's the word of your power. It's the word of your power that comes to raise us up to a new place of faith that reaches in and accesses the true grace of God, the supernatural ability, the supernatural favor, the supernatural blessing of Almighty God that causes us to get over it, to live in that place of 4D life for your glory, because yours is the kingdom and yours is the power. And yours is the glory. You are everything that you have declared yourself to be. That's our testimony. That's our declaration. That's our proclamation. That's our confession. And we refuse to be moved from it because Christ in us is the hope of glory. Amen. Amen. Amen.